So while Raquel and I were living in Michigan, we took a trip. If you've never been, there's this island in the very tip of Michigan called Mackinac Island, a very beautiful place. Where Andrews is located, southwest Michigan, is just fields. But way out there, it's like, if you've ever heard the slogan, pure Michigan, that's what they're talking about. Not down there. No, farther north you go, that's pure Michigan. And so we, from where Andrews is up, that's like 5.5 hours or something. So we're like, you know what, we need to just get a hotel. And so we got online, we booked the hotel, and as we're getting ready to go that day, I look it up, the GPS, and I see on the map, like, oh, there's a little airport. There's a small little airport right there by the hotel. So a few things are happening, right, at the same time. Just at that time, I bought a camera. Shameless plug, I have a YouTube channel. I post on there every once in a while. And I had just got the camera, and I had the bug. I want to film everything. Everything that I can point the camera at, I want to take a video of it. And so I said, Raquel, you know what would be cool? This would be the greatest opening to a video. If I could get there and like there was a plane taking off and it would, you know, it'd fly over and then I'd say like, welcome to my video or something like that. That'd be really cool, right? Raquel says, yeah, that'd be cool. You should do that. And I'm saying, well, thing is, it's a small airport. It's not even on, you know, it's not showing up when you Google it. It's just a little private airport. The likelihood of seeing anything is really slim. And Raquel told me as we're driving, no, Ben, you should get the camera ready because it's in a bag right now. Get it ready. Put it together because you don't know what you'll see. And I, if you don't know this about me yet, I really like planes. I'm into that. And so in my knowledge, right, in my experiential knowledge, I'd looked at Raquel and said, Raquel, there's no way. There's no way we're going to see anything cool. It's just, you know, it's just nice that it's there. And she says, oh, I just think you should. And so we're driving, we finally get there, and as we're pulling up, like, oh, here's that airport. And I say, wait a second. Not only is there a plane there, it's a jet. Some wealthy person in their private jet. It's about, oh my goodness, it's about to take off. And so I pull the car off to the side, and I jump out, and I open the trunk where the camera was, and I'm frantically, like, putting the camera together, put the lens on, take the lens cap off, and I run over to where the because, you know, it's a small airport, so there's like a fence. That's all it's blocking. And I get right there, and I'm ready, and as the plane is coming, and I'm thinking in my mind, like, you know what? Raquel's thinking I couldn't do it, but I did it. I got everything together in time. I'm going to get my shot. And as I point the camera up, you see something that no filmmaker or photographer ever wants to see when there's a once-in-a-lifetime shot, no SD card. No SD card. In Matthew 25, that's where we're going to be this morning. In Matthew 25, we see an example of a group of people who waited to the last minute to do something important. In Matthew 25, we're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read it with you. We're going to go through the whole parable here. We're in the middle of our series, The Kingdom of Heaven is Like. This is our third sermon. And so it starts like this. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil and their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." Verse 13, "And watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." the bridesmaids waited for the groom. This was a common practice, right? We have today traditions in wedding, right? Something blue, something borrowed. I don't remember what it was. I just remember that I got married. And I. So we have traditions, right? The bride, she wears white. The groom, he's in a tuxedo. We do things that are common that we know. This was a common tradition in the time, right? So what this was part of the whole wedding. So the groom, he got ready, right? And what these bridesmaids were doing, their task, this is the responsibility, right? You're going to wait, and we're going to give you, and people are, you know, go back and forth, whether it was a little handheld lamp or if they were like these torches that were wrapped with oil. That's not the important part. But what was important was they would raise these torches, and they would light the way as the groom was coming to pick up his bride. And then from there, the whole wedding party would then go back to the groom's father's house. And they'd have feasts and a bunch of food, and it would last days. Days of eating and good times. This was not the wedding you wanted to miss. You want to be there. You want to be a part of it. It's going to be a good time. My life advice for you, take it or leave it, right? And some of you are probably saying, yeah, I already do that, is when you go to weddings, even today, bring a snack, right? Because how often does a wedding, you know, you get the invitation, starts at 5, it's like, okay, 5 o'clock, sure. 6:30, more like it, right? How often do weddings, they're delayed a lot, right? What was also common, and it was understood, was that in this period of time, right, the groom's coming, he says he's coming at 8 o'clock, and everybody would say, okay, sure. It was common for people to be late. The other thing, they don't really have clocks, right? So you might think, oh, they're coming at dusk, or they're coming at dawn. What am I saying? When the sun set. They're coming when the sun sets, but what I think is sunset, what you think is sunset, it might take a little while. And so it was common for the groom to be delayed. And so people got there early. And what they would do is they would prepare, because you don't want to miss the wedding. You don't. In fact, it was actually offensive, right? So if you weren't there, weddings, they didn't just happen. You knew for a while that this is happening. I want you to be there. You're important to me. I love you. I want you to take part in this day. If you didn't show up, it was offensive. I mean, even when Raquel and I got married, right? There were people who the day of said, actually, and it hurts, you know? Oh, man, we wanted you to be there. But also, hey, your food costs like $100. Pay us back. It was rude. It was rude then. It's rude now. But culturally, it was insulting to the point where, like, hey, if you weren't there, then I don't know you. Because the people I know, the people I love, the people who love me and my wife, they show up on time. And as I read this and the common, you know, how often do we hear this passage preached or read in a small group and discussed? And we break these people up, right? So there's the wise, and then there's the foolish. And we look at the foolish and we say, these are the people who are against God. They don't love him. They don't even want to be in heaven. These people are foolish because they are actively ignoring God. We hear that often. We hear it a lot. But the thing is, if we follow this narrative, right, that doesn't actually make sense. Right? Because we're gonna focus on the foolish five, right? The foolish five, they woke up that day, they got dressed, they did their hair, they went to the place, they ended up falling asleep there. They wanted to be there. They did. They had full intention of being there and having fun and being part of the feast that lasts days and days and days. And then what happened then? at some point in their planning, they dropped the ball. So stay with me. We're going to come back to this thought. But we're going to jump over, probably a page over for you. We're going to be in Matthew 24. We're going to run through this because this is Matthew 24 is a big chapter. There's a lot to be said in there. And it starts with this. So Jesus is with the disciples and they're walking around and the disciples, they say, Jesus, man, look what they're building. It's the temple. And Jesus immediately, you know what he says? It's going to come down. They're stones. They're not going to stay on top of each other. It's coming down. And of course, the disciples, the question is, when? When, Lord? When is that going to happen? You can't just leave us on that cliffhanger. And so Jesus then, we go through Matthew 24. Jesus lets them know, okay, I'm going to tell you what to look out for so that you'll know. So that you'll know when this is happening. So there's going to be wars. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Oh, my goodness. Oh, nation is going to rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Famines, earthquakes, persecution. You may die. People will fall away. They will hate one another. The love of many will grow cold. And the disciples, they got to be hearing this saying, oh my word, this is terrible news. This is not good. Oh, all of these bad things are going to happen. And it doesn't sound very hopeful. And then Jesus says, and then boom, the second coming, right when it seems like it's going to be so bad, you can't even live another day, boom, the second coming, and God's going to come, and he's going to sweep in, and he's going to take all of you, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Wow. Okay. All right. I can look forward to that. I can endure these trials, Lord, if you're, what you're telling me is true, that it's all going to be okay in the end. And so we find them, we jump over with them. We're going to go right to chapter 24, verse 32. And this is what Jesus says to close. I said all those things. Verse 32, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Okay, Lord, we can do this. It's going to be all right. Because we know when these things happen, it's getting close. That's awesome. But like, when though? When exactly? Are we talking, you know, are we talking like a November God? November 15th, you know? It's still a little vague. Like, I know you have all these things you told us to look out for, but I need to be a little more specific so that I know I'm ready on that day. And so, God, when is it? Lord, when is that? And Jesus looks at them, and usually he has the answer, right? And then he looks at them and he's like, oh, I have no idea. Well, you mean you don't know, Jesus? You don't know when all of this is happening? You just know, like, the things that are coming? Yeah. Uh-huh. Jesus, how can you not know? How can you not know? If you don't know, how are we supposed to know? Verse 36 in the same chapter, Jesus says this, concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Only the Father. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. There is no date on the calendar. I don't know. The disciples, and they're looking at each other, and they're looking at Jesus, and okay, so then what do we do? Well, you weren't listening. I just told you, be prepared. But God, how can I be prepared all the time? Be prepared. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen next week, next month, next year, next decade. You need to be ready. You need to be prepared. And so we jump back over. We jump back over to Matthew 25. The bridesmaids knew the wedding was happening, right? They were even given a bigger blessing. They knew the day it was happening, but they didn't know exactly when the groom would show up. They just knew to be ready and be ready at that specific place. They wanted to be there. That cannot be missed. They wanted to be there. In this story, all of us, we make up that group of the 10 virgins. Who are we going to be, right? The foolish five or the wise five? We all want to be there. We want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. I mean, it's evident, right? It's evident that you're here. It's evident that you get up and you read your Bible. It's evident that you want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. Even if you're here today and you have doubts, you're here is evidence that something in your mind says, I need to at least learn about what's happening and what's coming. This is not a story. This parable is not a story of people who were in enmity with the kingdom of heaven. This is not about people who did not want to be there. This story is about you. And yet, how is there five who were gained entrance and five who didn't? The five who were not given entrance, the foolish five, are people who have become comfortable based on their own assumptions. Right? They say, yeah, he might be late, but I doubt it. He's usually a really punctual guy. He's usually on time. Why would I need to bring all this extra stuff if I know he's going to be here? Think of all the energy I'm saving by not lugging around all this extra oil. He'll be here. It's going to be all right. It's like me and Raquel. Raquel, there's not going to be a plane. Let's be honest. It's not happening. It's a little, small, dinky airport. It's not happening. Why waste my time setting up this camera for nothing? And the signs of the times that we read through Matthew 24, we've heard them, right? We see, if we ask, man, we're in the end times. We say that all the time because you look, you turn on the news, it's crazy. You go across the street, you see something crazy, it's the end times. It's all around us. And the end times, these signs that Jesus gave as a warning were supposed to prepare us, right? When we see this happening, we know, oh, we need to get ready. We need to start praying. We need to be right, quote unquote, so to speak, with God. We need to do the right thing. But could it be said that the signs of the times and how often we're hearing about them make us comfortable? Okay, and you start thinking, how am I comfortable? How could I be comfortable at a time like this? I think about it like this. Imagine people in the 1940s finding out about the mass genocide of the Jewish people called the Holocaust. Surely they must have said, this is the end times. It's bad. He's coming tomorrow. And then they waited and, 1945 turned to 46, 47, 48, 49. Oh, I guess not that time. And then later on, the Cold War. Tensions were high all over the place. Surely he's coming now. No. Okay, well, we're still here. All right. And then a few years later, in the assassination of one of our presidents, JFK, and he's, oh my word, it's happening. Prophecy unveiled. He's coming now. And it didn't happen. 9/11. Oh, we're being attacked. He's coming. The world is ending. No, not yet. Earthquakes happen all the time. They cause tsunamis. Thousands and thousands of people die. Surely he's coming now. No? Oh, okay. Famine, pestilence, a pandemic. He's coming. The world is blowing up. No? Oh, okay. Rioting in Portland. He's coming. Storming the Capitol. He's coming. He's not here right now. And now we have things going on in different countries as well. I mean, Haiti, their president was just assassinated. There's things going on in Cuba. These are the end times. I'm reading them right in front of me. Wars and rumors of wars. And they will hate each other and many will fall away. It must be happening now. Experiential knowledge sometimes can harm us. Like I said, I'm familiar with how airports work. This is a little airport. They probably get one flight a day. I'm not going to see anything. We become comfortable, right? Because these things keep happening. These big things, it looks like scripture unveiling itself right before our eyes. And every time we think it must be now, it doesn't happen. We get comfortable. We say things like, oh man, you know, did you hear about what's happening? Anywhere? Did you hear about what's happening? And we say things like, yeah, man, it's those end times, those pesky end times. So anyway, I was thinking I might, right? The urgency isn't there. So what happens when experience has told you a few times already in your lifetime, it's not bad enough yet. He's not coming. I have time. What happens, like this story, when the groom is delayed? What do we do? What happens when you have been through it? And I know some of you have been through it. You've called me. We've talked. I know you're going through it right now. And he hasn't come. What happens when he still isn't here? This is a story. Matthew 25 is a story of people who want to be in the kingdom, all 10 of them. But there's a difference between appearing ready and actually being ready. When I was in my undergrad, I got really into soccer. And I had this job, and I was working really hard, and I had some money saved up. This is before Raquel and I were dating, so I wasn't flying back and forth between Tennessee and Southern to see her, so I had all this money. And there were these cleats that came out. They were nice, shiny red. They had, like, this stitch lacing, and it was supposed to make you faster, jump higher, you know, all the things they say. But they were expensive. So only the elite players buy these because it's worth it to them. But of course, you know me, let me get those. Maybe I'll run faster. Maybe I'll jump higher. I'll do all the things it says. So I purchased these cleats and I go out onto the field. And it was so interesting to see these were like hard to get. So I walk out and everybody's looking at me like, this guy can ball. Oh my word, guard this guy. I had the appearance of an elite player. I had the high socks, I had the cleats, I had it all. I had a nice shirt. 5 seconds into the game, I'm tripping, I'm falling, I kick the ball out, I'm messing up, I'm not that good of a soccer player. So it messed with people's minds. It even got to a point where other guys who were much better than me said, hey, can I borrow those? I don't think you're not really using them, right? Like, yeah, whatever. I should have charged them, you know, that would have been nice. But there's a difference in looking ready and appearing like you're ready. than actually being ready. The question is, who are we in the delay? Right? Some of you have lived through a lot of the things I talked about just now, and we're going to live through a lot more that's coming. Who are we in the interim? Are we people who have prepared, who have brought extra oil, or are we going to go based off of our assumptions? I want to go, but I think we have got plenty of time. The foolish five look prepared. The wise five are actually prepared. And the foolish five, when the groom comes and they hear the cry, the midnight cry, he's coming. And they realize, oh, we can't get in if our torches aren't lit. Help us. Help me. Help me now. I want to go. I want to be there. I wanted to run a marathon. And Raquel and I were training. And Raquel's getting up early every morning. She's running 14 miles, 16 miles. She's getting ready. And I sleep in. And I eat whatever I want. I want to run the race. I want the medal. I want the shirt they give you. I want the clout of saying I ran 26.2 miles. Raquel put in the work. I didn't. On race day, Raquel cannot share her preparedness with me. I had to work. I had to get ready. I had to be prepared for me. I know you all want to be there, but when you hear the midnight cry, he's coming, wake up, you can't look to your friends and say, hey, give me some of what you have. You can't look to your small group and say, okay, guys, it's happening, let me in. You can't look to this church. You can't look to this church. You can't look to me and say, you were the one who was supposed to do it. You were supposed to get me ready. I can't do that for you. This church can't do this for you. The church across the street can't do it. Well, you cannot share your preparedness with anyone. Church is good. Listen, church is good. And I say this, you know, I say this often. I'm here, right? And I'm doing this. This is what I love to do. But the church can't do it for you. Church is great, but we might have, over time, created spaces that are more like spiritual spas, right? You come, you do your thing in the week, and you come on Saturday, and you know, we massage out all the stress of the week. How was it? Oh, it was good. Oh, tell me about your kids, you know. Tell me about what your plans are in your future. And in an hour and 45 minutes, we say, we'll see you next week, right? You go, and if you rely on us, if you rely on this church for your preparedness, when the time comes, we can't give you any, because then we won't have enough. You had to do it on your own. You knew about this, right? You read Matthew 24. You saw all the stuff. You knew. You say, well, yeah, it's getting bad out there. It is, But you've been saying that for a while, you know, and nothing's really changing. Do not become comfortable in the signs. Do not allow the things that are happening to say, well, I got plenty of time. Don't become comfortable. Don't move and make decisions based on your assumptions of what could happen, because no one knows the day or the hour. Not even Jesus knows. If Jesus doesn't know, I know you don't know. I missed my opportunity to get that perfect shot for my video, my vlog. I missed the opportunity 100%. Didn't happen. Statistically, I was right. Experientially, I was right. There shouldn't have been a plane there. There shouldn't have been a nice plane there. I am supposed to be right. But I became comfortable in my experiential knowledge. I knew it's not going to happen. And then when it did, I wasn't ready. Here's the thing. And I needed to learn this at the time. You'll never know what's going to happen. You never know. The same way that plane took off and could have taken off, and I should have been prepared, the kingdom of heaven can come at any single time. Could come in a few hours. Could come in a few years. Your kids and their kids might grow old before it happens. We don't know, but we should be prepared all the time. And so you say, Ben, how can I be prepared? I think I'm feeling like I might be one of those spiritual spa attendees. How do I become prepared? And I'll be honest, I can't necessarily answer that question for you because you're all different. You have your own lives and experiences, and some things might work for you that won't work for someone else. But I want to ask you a question, and I'll leave you with this. And it might answer your question as you think about it and pray about it. What would you do for your own personal preparedness if this church and those churches and every church disappeared overnight? What would you do? In that thinking is most likely your answer. Let's pray. Kind of Heavenly Father, Lord, prepare our hearts, God. Forgive us when we are thinking with our minds that we know best. God, allow the rebuke to take heart, to take root in our heart, Lord, that we might be better tomorrow than we are today. God, we pray for your soon coming. We know that in this story there was a delay, and you know, we take that same analogy, and you are delayed. And Lord, we pray that we would be wise in that time in between. God, prepare our hearts, get us ready, take away any distractions we might have and arrogance we may have. I pray in your name, amen.